The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Amen. So it's been a wonderful meeting. I heard you had a good time yesterday at your picnic. Amen. I heard. I would have come. Just that we didn't finish on. These people kept me here. These guys. Amen. But you know, one of the things you begin to see from this meeting is that God is not just interested in your spiritual life. I get the point. He's not just interested in your spiritual life. If God is only interested in your spiritual life and doesn't care about your finance, doesn't care about your health, that will make him an irresponsible father. And he's not. Amen. So he's a God, he's a father that cares. Why are you guys feeling cold? I'm just checking around. You just want AC that is on. Okay, just put this one off now. Yeah. Okay, because these two on the stage, they're off. Those two are off, actually. Are you serious? It's getting better. You know, supernatural hub is going to be really cold, man. You know the problem is, you know, do you guys remember when we were at the old venue? If you ever came to that old venue, you would thank God for this cold. There was one reason fact we did in that old venue. The venue was an oven. It was an oven. It was so hot, like you couldn't even breathe. You couldn't even, it was really something. Some people would run outside to go and collect breeze. Do you understand? It was really very bad. And then we're now doing packaging. We now use black clothes to wrap the hall so that it would be very fine. So it was fine. But we're passing through a lot. So I thank God that today, the issue is that the ACs are too much. So God is good. Don't you think so? God is good. So let's enjoy it for now. Okay. Amen. So every year I do healing hearts for the ladies. And I'm going to just take you through that now. Healing hearts. The idea of this particular session every year is that there are many things that happen in the life of a young lady that if we do not address those things, you know, they are going to come back to hurt you. There are issues, ladies deal with a lot of emotional issues. But not just ladies now, people generally. Because yesterday, two days ago, I was taking the men on healing the male child. Amen. But because this is a ladies' meeting, I'm talking to ladies now. Ladies deal with a lot of emotional issues. A lot of things that goes on in the heart. That if we do not begin to attend to them, they will come back to our first. So last year, we had healing hearts too, right? What were we addressing last year? Can you remember? Yeah? Yeah, well, dealing with fears. How to handle fears that occupy the heart of people. How to deal with fears. And sometimes it could be some people battle guilt, some battle depression. You know, these are things that go on within. And the reason we talk about these kind of things is because how life functions, okay, it is the state of the heart that determines the quality of your life. Right? The state of your heart determines the quality of your life. So the Bible said, guard your heart with all diligence. It said, from out of it flows the issues of life. The issues of life. So the state, the quality of your life is determined largely, right, by the state of your heart. Whatever takes hold of your heart will eventually determine how you live on earth. And that is the truth. how you conduct yourself. So most times when we want to check, why do people do the things they do? The closest place to look at is their heart. So for instance, relationships now, if a lady has been hurt, and then 3, 4, 5 men have hurt her, disappointed her, broken her heart, and she doesn't get to deal with those issues and enters another relationship, she will be pouring the effects of the other relationship on these new people. And that's why, though I'm not going to talk about it today, I want to say to some of you, if there are things that happened from your past, maybe your relationships, or maybe your family, and you realize it's affecting you today, do not sweep those issues under the carpet. Bring them up so that they can be dealt with. Talk to who you have to talk to. I'm already helping one or two persons go through some of these things. Right? If there are things that happened to your past, a lady was raped at a young age. Don't think that after the whole rape thing, it just goes away. Some people, it stays in their hearts. Some, it turns to fear of men. Do you understand? Then some others, it turns to promiscuity. They will feel, I've been raped now. What else is there to protect? So, let's just continue. So, the things that go on in your life, if something happens that has messed with your heart in some way, do not just let them. Don't think that they will pass. They are coming back. They are somewhere in your future. I get the point. They will try to affect how you live. They will try to affect how you talk. You grew up in a home where you suffered abuse. Make sure that you thoroughly healed from it. If not, you might live a fearful life. Or if you don't even live a fearful life, you will end up becoming abusive yourself. Because it is what people are giving that they can give to. So when you've received all those abuse, eventually what happens is people begin to give back those things because they didn't deal with it. So as a pastor, actually, you know, sometimes like I make excuses for people, but I don't. I actually do not pay so much attention. I don't focus on people's actions. Most times I check, why are they behaving that way? When they bring people to me, when they say, do you know that lady? Ah, you can't trust her. When they are done, the first thing that comes to my mind, because I begin to wonder, okay, why is she like that? Now, when I mean why is she like that, I'm not trying to make excuses for her to say, well, it's what of what she passed through. I'm trying to say, how can we help? Because sometimes if we don't get to why things happened, we might not be able to help the person. Do you know what I'm talking about? For instance, there are some ladies that are very promiscuous. They can't actually control themselves around guys. They move from one guy to another. Most times I begin to wonder, why? What happened to this lady? Because nobody was born like that. It is possibly something that happened at a time in her life that she didn't get proper healing from. And that translates to what we are seeing today. If I look at the lady and she has inferiority complex, she can't talk to people. She's always, what happened to this lady? So before I begin to push it on the person, I'm always concerned. What happened? How did someone become like this? How did she become so dull? You know, I was mentoring a lady some time ago, and she was not just reserved, she's timid. Very timid. Can't even stand before people. Right? And the mom said to me one day, because I was mentoring, I was close to the family. So she told me one day, saying, you know, Pastor Henry, my daughter was not always like this. I said, okay. She said, because that I was talking to the lady about, I was telling her, and the mom was there, why not just be alive? Face things. Why are you so? So when the lady left, the mom said, my daughter was not always like this. He said, when my daughter was young and in nursery and primary school, she was always very active. Very active, very agile, very intelligent, very smart lady. He said, well, I was a teacher in their nursery and primary school that took time to show her that she should shut up. And that went on for a long time. He said she herself did not know Are you getting the point? The lady kept, the teacher kept abusing her with words, abusing her with words, until they took that girl back into her shell. You get the point? And so, if we don't deal with these issues, it even affects the quality of the ministry that we're going to have. Because tell me how God is now talking to that lady about going to nations, preaching, whatever. She's still stuck in something that happened in the past. Do you know, it might even get to a time, you might even forget what caused all these things. But you are now like that. Are you following me? That's what I'm going to say to people. Let me say something about relationship. I don't know why God is bringing it back in my heart. If you go through a relationship that was not good and you come out of it, when we say heal, what we are not saying is let time pass. Time does not heal anything. Really make sure you invest in the healing. It says how? Get counsel if you have to. Seek counseling. Right? Because time doesn't heal hurts. If anything, time will sweep it under the carpet. Are you following me? Get under the carpet and then it's there. When you enter the next relationship, maybe this other guy you even met is a good person. He doesn't beat, he doesn't shout. But then you've become very tough and brutal. Any small thing he does, he says, I'm not going to take that. And sometimes the guy is wondering, is my girlfriend mad? What's causing this one? You don't even know why you're like that. It's like, I can't take rubbish from any guy. Let me tell you, that's why many people are feminists. Is that something has happened to them, or they experienced what happened to someone? Maybe they saw how their dad treated their mom, or they've seen how women were ill-treated around them. That thing has damaged something in their heart. So they now enter the relationship. The guy has not even done anything bad. They've become defensive for it. I get what I'm saying. It's not me you try that rubbish. Oh, you think I'm all those girls? What's bringing this talk? You're dealing with a sick lady. So that's why every year I try to do this session. Healing hearts. I'll just pick something that we need to deal with. Like today, I will not be talking about effects. I'll talk about something that has damaged many young ladies. Not many people. It's called slander. Slander. You know what slander is? Huh? What is slander? Huh? Talk. To slander, dictionary meaning, it actually is an action of crime of making a false spoken statement damaging to a person's reputation. When people say things about you that messes with your reputation. Many ladies never recover from this. Somebody coined a story about you, said some terrible things to damage your reputation, and then it stays there. Do you know what it produces? Sometimes it produces many things. Lack of trust. I get what I'm saying. Have you ever been slandered in your life? At any time in your life? How sweet is that? Make sure you've healed from it. That's why I'm doing this thing. Because it can stay there. It can stay. Ah. Is it ministry and slander that are friends? Ministry. Sometimes they tell stories about you that when you hear it, you're wondering, wow, am I that powerful? Was that me? You can't even remember doing those things. Please, if there are cases where you've been, some things come from family. They forge things about you and sell to your parents or sell to people. And those people don't even want to hear you out. They begin to treat you based on what they've heard. Many ladies are damaged because of this. Many ladies don't have friends because they can't keep friends. Many ladies can't trust people because of this. What else can slander do? Yeah? I'm coming to that. Self-esteem. In fact, let me already start talking about it. Slander is a terrible... In fact, let me tell how the Lord spoke to me about this. This one, I didn't decide it. God spoke to me. God told me, I wrote in my notes, the Lord said, when you get to the prophet, they talk about the spirit called slander. I was like, oh God, is it a spirit? He said, that's how I heard it. The spirit called slander. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing that seeks to stop, frustrate, and hinder you. You know, James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 warned about this. Say, don't speak evil. Give me King James. I keep saying this all the time. Speak not evil of one of another brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, judgeth, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Verse 12. Verse 12. He said, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Give me NLT from verse 11. Bible warned against being slanderous. He said, don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. Let me say this to you. This is why I believe I've earned a little, you know, I'm in a good position to talk to you about slander, because I've been a victim of it myself. And I've known how to navigate through it and come out. It can destroy you. There are men of God that stopped their ministry because people kept saying. There are ladies who can't make progress because people kept saying and doing all of that. The thing about it is, man of God or no man of God, everyone on earth, we have their own fair share of slander at different points. You get the point? At different points. Even Jesus had. Where they spread rumors against you, cook up things against you, cast aspersions on your personality. You know, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24, we read about some of the things they said concerning Jesus. Matthew 12 and verse 24. Praise God. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils but by Beelzebub. So they said Jesus had an evil spirit called Beelzebub, that it was the prince of the devils walking on Jerusalem. And they kept telling everybody that. So imagine that. You're a man of God, doing your ministry, trying to help people, and they say, that one is devil working with him. Think about that. And Jesus passed through that. I'm going to show you other scriptures in Mark 14 and verse 58. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mark 14 and verse 58. He said, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another one made without hands. Do you know, did Jesus say this? Listen, did he say this? But what were they doing? They were taking it out of context. They were sometimes that's how slander comes, right? They misunderstand you, take what you said out of context. Because he was talking about the temple of his body. Then I said, he said he will destroy this temple and build it in 3 days. Have we not all had cases where we were misunderstood? We are trying to explain, no, that's not what I meant. That's not how I meant it. But everybody had believed the other narrative. I know once I started doing this teaching, it will just bring back some memories. And that's where some of you will realize that you've not really moved on from some things that happened in your life. Luke 23 verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led them unto Pilate. And verse 2. And they began to accuse him. We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. Did Jesus say this? Eh? Did he? No. He said, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's. Give to God that which is God. He was talking about that. Tax. He said that he himself is Christ, a king. Yes, he said he's king, but he didn't say don't give tribute to Caesar. I feel what I'm saying. So they were just twisting the whole thing. So everybody's going to suffer it. And let me tell you why slander hurts much. One of the reasons why slander hurts very much is because slander almost always comes from your close friends. That's why it always hurts. It comes from people you've given access into your life. People that you've allowed into your space. People, you know, Psalm 41 verse 9. You see, the psalmist talking about the betrayal of Jesus and all of that. You know, and he said, yeah, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, had lifted up his heel against me. That's why it always hurts, because, this is my friend. Are you the one saying this thing about me? You know, another part of it, you know, not just people that are close to you. Sometimes it is people that you have helped. Do you understand? People you've helped, people you've invested yourself into, people you've gone out of your way for. And another one spreading some of these things and all of that. If I'm the one that pains the most, sometimes the things that are spreading about you is true. Fact. But sometimes it is being sponsored by people you confided in by your own self. Do you understand the point? You did something bad and then you call your friend and say, baby, I don't know. After the person said, don't worry, God, it's fine. And the person begins to talk about it. Use it to come against. And you're wondering, something I told you by myself. In confidence. Because when people hear you saying it now, it looks like you discovered it. I told you. I get the point. And then it begins to hurt people. Amen. But I want to show you something that will help you today, why you need to heal and move on from everything. Slander, I thought the Lord told me about the spirit of slander. Slander is, you know, Satan has a bigger agenda with slander. How you see it from the outside is, they're just talking against me, but there is something else the devil wants to achieve with that. That's what I want to show you. To start with, he is called the accuser of the brethren. So slander is Satan's ministry. Do you understand? Accusation is his ministry. He's just using those people speaking to achieve something in your life. So every time when there is a case of accusation or, you know, aspersion, slander, people are just saying, just know that it is what Satan wants to do with those things is beyond, let me just make you feel bad. It's beyond that. I can show you like three things that Satan wants to achieve with slander. One of them is to give you a bad image of yourself. That's low self-esteem. He wants to bring to a point where you begin to see yourself from the stories that's telling about you. Begin to see yourself like that. And many of you are like that. They've kept talking. You've actually bought the image that they painted of you. I get to the point. They say, that girl, she's this, she's that. And all he's doing to you is giving you a bad image. We're fighting. I'm not like that. It's not true. But eventually, it's making you feel less. One of the things I told you yesterday, that the Lord said to me that this perfect lady, that he wants to help your esteem. You remember that? He wants to help ladies and their esteem. That's why I did that teaching I did yesterday. And that's why I'm doing this too. Because one of the things that kills people's esteem is when they are slandered. When people talk against you, say things to the point you don't even know yourself again. Amen. You now go into your shell because they've said terrible things. So he wants to give you a bad image of yourself. He wants to give you a low self-esteem. Another thing that I want to achieve with slander is to bring you to a point that you commit sin. And the sin I'm talking about basically is the sin of bitterness and hatred. And this one, God taught me this about 3 years ago. You know, there was a season in my life where a lot of stuff was happening. And the Lord said to me, what do you think the devil wants to achieve with this? He wants to get to the point where you begin to hate those people, where you become bitter against them. I said, okay. It's awful what I'm saying now. Ephesians 4:26 tells us to be angry or sin not. He now said, neither give place to the devil. That's verse 27. So he wants you to come to a point where you open your door to him. And how do you open your door to the devil? Bitterness, anger, hate. So those people are saying those things. That's what is happening on the outside. There's another agenda that is working out, trying to work out in your heart, trying to make you bitter. And the people I'm talking to this morning that are still angry about what people said concerning them 2 years ago, what people said concerning them 10 years ago, what people said concerning them when they were growing up. It's time to stop letting the devil win. Because every time you become bitter because of what they said concerning you, maybe they even did something to you and set you up and forged the thing and pointed it to you and you get bitter, the devil is winning the case. That's actually what he wants to achieve. Are you following what I'm saying now? And that's why I said many pastors stop their ministry because of accusations and slander. Do you know why? One of the easiest ways to do that is that they start becoming bitter. Because I told you, the biggest slander will come from people around your circle. So, who are the easiest people to slander a pastor? Fellow pastors. Or his people. So, the guy picks offense, begins to get angry with those people, begins to hurt against those people. Before you know, he begins to preach against them. He begins to make decisions from the place of hurt. You know, he's no longer working for God. He's now working for his emotions. Or should I say, he's now working for the devil. Because he's now dancing, not to the music of the spirit, but to the music Satan is playing for him. Through hate, bitterness, and all of that. So, you notice? So, slander has an agenda. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not just what people see. It's to produce hate and bitterness. So, to make you sin. It also wants to stop you from moving forward. Or at least weaken you. Have people ever said this about you to a point that you even lost drive for your own life? Has it ever happened to you? Huh? Anybody? Let me see. We are free. Let's talk. Uh-huh. You even lost drive. Slander wants to weaken you. Bring you to the point where you can no longer move forward. Where you are just there. You don't even know what to do again. That's the point. To stop you. To make you weak. What else I'm going to tell you when we're rounding up is, you see, Pastor Henry, no matter what you say concerning me, I'm always on the move. And that is one thing that when I get to help, that's one of the things that will help you. No matter what you say, and I'm not on the move to shame you, I'm just moving on with my life. Do you get the point? It's not, let's shame them so that when they finish talking, they will now be ashamed. No, I'm just moving on with my life. Why? Because I already know the bigger agenda of the devil with that slander thing. I know it's not just saying those things. It's not making those people say those things because of anything. I know he just wants to stop me. Do you understand? Someone has once said that he knows where that I use diabolic powers to do ministry when I was in school. And I wish he said it as though he was not sure. He said he knows where I go to get it from. Do you understand? Now that's bold. I am telling you, Trump, I was just be president then, and I was shaking up the school. Everybody just, you know, Pastor said, you know where he's getting it from. I will get to that. I never addressed this matter. I never did. I never, after I left school, I started telling people. Even till now, he is not aware that I heard it. Because I didn't bother about it. Because I know the bigger plan. It's not following me this morning. The bigger plan is to stop you, so I ignored it. There are certain things that you have to ignore. Not everything, though, we're going to get there. But I said you just have to ignore. A little bit. Don't have anything in your heart against the person or whatever. Just live your life. Because the bigger thing is to stop you. And I'm going to tell you, because I want to show you, how do you move on when there are cases of slander, when people are saying terrible things about you and against you, or it has happened in the past, and you know, everybody has just said a lot of crazy things. What do you do? Of course, on top of the list is forgiveness. It's almost like a slogan in this church. There is no emotional healing without forgiveness. So any day we're going to talk about emotional healing, especially we're going to talk about forgiveness. And the reason is because, remember, the biggest agenda of slander is actually to bring you into hate and bitterness. To make you sin. And so the first thing you have to do is to forgive. And I'm not saying you should forgive them when they stop talking. Some of them may not stop talking. You don't forgive people because they're forgivable. You don't forgive people because they deserve it. You forgive people because the Bible said you should forgive them. You are trying to obey the Bible. Not just because you want people to, because they apologized. And not because you just want to, people say, well, forgive people so you can free yourself. That's also true. But let me say this to you. The first reason you forgive is not to free yourself. The first reason is because the Bible instructs us to do so. And that should be enough. And of course, if you forgive, you free yourself anyway. That's the truth too. If you don't forgive, you hold yourself down. You don't free yourself. Because forgiveness, unforgiveness has a way of keeping you at a spot. You know the thing about unforgiveness? When you don't forgive people, that experience occupies your mind. It takes hold of your mind. So when people have said terrible things about you, the way to go is to first of all forgive them. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, right? It said, be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And so why do we forgive people? Because God has forgiven us. Did you observe when Jesus never picked offense? With all those things they said about him, he got to the cross and said, Father, forgive them. Now, these are people that said he said this, they misquoted him, they misunderstood him. He just said, they don't know what they're doing. You see that thing Jesus did there has become one of my biggest secrets to walking in love. Father, forgive them, they know not what they're doing. How can you say that full-grown men don't know what they're doing? But he just made an excuse for them. I've learned that. If my wife tells you, the way I make a school of people, I say, I know, he's a child. As soon as my friend people say, that verse is not a child, he's not a child, he's grown. I say, I can just make one excuse for you and it will suffice. Yeah, he's a child. If he knew better, he would have done better. Yes, I've learned it. So Jesus said, they don't know what they're doing. First, one time I was meditating of that verse, I was like, Jesus, you said, what do you mean they don't know? You mean they did not know when they took you to Pilate's house, or they didn't know when they took you to Herod? What do you mean? What exactly do you mean by they don't know what they're doing? So when they were flogging you, they didn't know. They were flogging you unconsciously. But you know, it's a good way to think. That just free your mind. I get what I'm saying now. They don't know what they're doing. Now, I can make a lot of excuses for people, though. So as I say, if they knew better, they would have done better. And it's actually true. And the people that work with me closely will tell you, you hear that a lot from me. I say, I know why that lady is behaving that way. I say, why? It's the family she's coming from. They didn't give her. She passed through a lot of her family. So that's why she's like that. So my point is, however I do it, I will make sure you don't occupy space in my heart. Because that's where real healing begins from. Some people are still hurting. If I ask people now, if you are still hurting from what somebody said about you, many people raise up their hand here. Do we try it? Huh? But some of you shall know. People saying no, it's because they know. But saying, I don't say it because I don't want to lie in God's house. Because if you say it, I will not raise my hand. But you know, it's there. But I have to forgive. Let today be that day. Let today be that day. Because when they forge some of these stories, sometimes you don't even know. I was talking with a young girl, and there was this guy in her life. And what this guy, it was a pastor, a man of God. And the guy, and when they were no longer together, the girl was, what the guy kept saying is, tell this girl to stop. So the guy was painting it as though the girl was trying to seduce him, trying to, you know, those kind of things. I was telling many people. And I've learned something. I do not believe one side of any story. Any story. I'm telling you. In fact, even if you are crying when you are saying it. But if you start crying when you're saying it, that's why I will not even believe you. So when the guy kept passing, spreading that news, say, I don't mind all these guys. You know, say, you know, anointing attracts people. It's the fire that was following. So, I just told him that they were in a group. I said, well, I don't know, Sha, but I kind of feel that you must have done something that made this girl come after you. She said, no, I'm just the anointing. So I spoke with the girl. The girl said, what are you saying? She opened her phone. She showed me text messages. Showed me chats. showed me when she was ignoring the guy. How the guy kept pressing. Showed me gifts. Showed me, I said, okay. But the story everybody believed around the fellowship then was, this girl was just trying to mess this boy up. So she was very hot. No, she didn't leave. She didn't stay in the fellowship. No, she left. She couldn't stay. Because everybody began to see her as, you know what it looks like now? The seductress. Delilah. That want to shave Samson's hair. But trust me, I've always been a troublesome person. I met the boy. No. I met the boy. Nothing concerned me for the matter. Do you understand? But you told me, you lied to me. I said, you really mean these girls? I said, I saw the text messages. I saw this. I saw that. I said, sir, most times when you guys do this, let me warn you, don't mess with people's reputation. It's not fair. I get what I'm saying? It's not fair. Do you know what? I don't know where that girl is now. But what if she's still damaged because of a stunt somebody pulled many years ago? I get what I'm talking about. Don't mess with people's reputation. The Bible said that people that slander people are fools. Are you aware? Well, let me show you that in the Bible. It's not in my notes, but I just felt. Let me just show you. Foolish people slander people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Proverbs 10 verse 18. Proverbs 10 verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that utterest a slander is a fool. Give me NLT. He's a fool. Hiding hatred makes you a liar. Slandering others makes you. Do you know what it means to hide hatred? Give me like a Apply Classic other translations. I just want to send it to Apply Classic. He who hides hatred is of a liar. That you don't like someone. Do you understand? Well, then you're just pretending. But then behind, they're slandering the person. Said you a fool. He who utters slander is a self-confident fool. So help me touch your neighbor. Say, don't be a fool. So I'm not trying to tell you, this is not my sermon, but please don't. Let me tell you, if you're not sure, because you know how much what people have said about you has affected you. If you're not sure about things, don't say them to anybody. Don't say them. Confirm them first. Do you know, by the time I'm done with this, some of you will realize there are some people, and I'm saying this confidently, that you are angry with, that you are hating based on a lie. Because you heard the lie about them, you believe the lie, you didn't bother to check or to confirm whatever. Don't you know people that hate you today because of a lie? You know it's a lie, but today they are still looking at you with one eye. There are people, it may be your, I don't like using that word, it's funny, but let me just, it may be your destiny helper. That you are angry with because someone came to slander that person in your presence. Do you know what I'm saying? And then you say, is that how that boy is? Jesus. It might even be your husband to be. For real. It might be your husband to be in the future. But today, someone, your girlfriend has come to tell you, that boy, men has come, and they tell you stories you never bothered to confirm. You say, man, that guy that dealt with my friend, by the time you go into a relationship, find out it may be your friend that dealt with him. I'm telling you, by the time you get to know, it may be your friend dealing, because I've seen a lady cry about the relationship. And when I spoke to the guy said, what are you telling me? When I was on, I found out the person dealing with the other person was the lady. Yes. There are some people that guys deal with too, but at the end of the day, listen. Don't slander people. So, first I said, forgive. Forgive. And the second thing I'm going to say, which is connected to this forgiveness thing, as always say, stop talking about it. If you keep discussing a slander, to start with, if you keep talking about it, you help it spread. We've gone through in this ministry some very tough seasons of slander, seasons of betrayal and all of that. But if you join this ministry this year or last year, you don't even know any of those stories because you will not hear it from me. Because once I keep talking about those things, I'm giving it life. I get the point. So do not be the one to strengthen accusation against yourself by discussing it. Thinking that by discussing it, you explain yourself to everybody. I tell everybody, stop talking about it. Stop complaining. Anything you keep talking about, you cannot move on from. Your life travels in the direction of your words. I say that all the time. Your life travels in the direction of your words. And so once you keep talking about how they said this about me, how they said that about me, do you know the terrible thing they said concerning me, and you keep doing it, you keep doing that, you can't even forgive the person. Because for every time you discuss that, you relieve the experience. I'm not talking about R-E-L-I-E-V-E. Like, you relieve it. R-E, then dash, L-I-V-E. You live in the experience afresh. You live in it afresh. So every time you are discussing something that has happened in the past, it's like you are stepping into that experience again. I get what I'm talking about. It's like you're stepping into it afresh. And that's why every time you talk about it, the whole wounds open up. There are certain things that will happen in your life that you shouldn't talk about too much till after like 3 years or so, when you are totally fine before you cannot talk about it. Are you following me? Yeah. So stop talking about it. The next thing I'm going to talk about how to heal from a slander is repent if you have to. What I mean repent, I mean if actually the things they said concerning you are true, then repent from it. Adjust your ways if you have to. Because the problem is you can't be complaining that people are saying things about you and you're actually going ahead doing those things they're saying about you. And then complain that I'm saying things about you. So you guys are gossiping about me. But you are doing it. So if it was mistakes you made in your past that people are taking a hold of to, you know, slander you, ensure that those mistakes are in your past. Do you get the point? Ensure that, okay, because for real, the thing about slander is many slanders, you know, have an atom of truth. I used to say every, but now I know it's not. I used to say there is no smoke without fire, but now I know that there can be smoke and there is no fire. You say, how is that possible? Don't you go for weddings where they bring that smoking machine and there is no fire anywhere? There can really be smoke without fire. An example, Joseph in the house of Potiphar. There was no fire, but there was smoke. What the woman had evidence. She was carrying his clothes. That's what you think, his shirt removed. They used to wear all this long robe. So she dragged Joseph until, and so she locked it. So Joseph was outside naked. So what do you want to say? How can you defend that you are innocent? But this is what I'm talking about, forgiveness. When Joseph became prime minister, he didn't say agenda number one. Where is Potiphar and Potiphera? We have a meeting today. Oh, I like, forgiveness is really a thing. Throughout the stay in prison, we didn't see Joseph complain to everybody in prison. Do you know how I got it? Do you know how they put me here? How they put me here? I was just on my own. It's not necessary. But if in your own case there's actually smoke with fire, you know, you get what I'm trying to say? If you actually had a fault in the whole thing, you've got to repent from it. Because sometimes we are complaining, but sometimes we know we are actually guilty in some way. So I'm not saying you should beat yourself up because of it. I'm just saying you should repent from it. I get the point? Don't beat yourself up. Repent from it. Amen. Are you learning something? Then please, don't try to revenge. Do not try to revenge. Do not try to do your own back. One of the biggest tests that the Lord gave me in the ministry. Sophia, how are you? Why are you smiling? I know that smile. One of the biggest tests that I passed through in the ministry was when I heard people sharing some unverified stories about me. And yet, I know that I have verified stories about them. I get what I'm saying. They are saying things out of speculation. Something like, the way this guy has many ladies around him, we are so sure. That's speculative. But in their own case, I have people that have come to tell me, this boy took advantage of me. With evidence. So, what do you think the temptation is? Say you are finishing your own. Let me say my own. Sometimes you are someone's friend. The person is all over the place, slandering you with things that both of you shared in friendship. And you have more about her. And you just say, should I open my cupboard? Should we start doing this? Don't try to revenge. Don't try to revenge. You know the thing about revenge? It doesn't heal any hurt. It can never heal hurt. You know, the thing where you want to revenge, something makes you feel like, if I revenge, I'll feel okay. At least it's 1-1. Who has ever tried a revenge here? Okay, I know you're a believer, just tell me. Have you ever tried revenge? Okay. Did you succeed at the revenge? If you succeeded, let me see your hand. You really revenged. Let me see your hand. Did you feel good after it? You might feel good. But the question I actually want to ask is, did it stop your own hurts? It will not. There's a kind of joy that comes from me too. No, joy is not the world, but at least 1-1. You know that feeling. But you can never be fine. For me, I've not tried to revenge, but I know something about revenge. I think that later, you will feel bad. You will feel bad because you went against your character. You went against who you are just to be able to get back at someone. You might even start feeling bad. When people say this about you, what you cannot do is try to say your own back. That's childish. It's childish. Romans 12 verse 19 talks about that. If you have questions, you can write, because I want to attend to questions for this particular session before we pray. So you can just write and pass to the ushers. Romans 12 verse 19. Glory to God. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, the Lord. Give me like NLT of this verse. NLT, live translation. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. And you know, when I talk about anger of wrath of God of that, you know, people, I cannot believe what I'm going to tell you now. People eventually miss what is coming for them. God doesn't have to get involved. I get what I'm saying. If people keep doing something, they will get what is coming for them. I tell you guys this story about this young lady that the Lord told. She said, not just she said, the Lord told her, and the Lord told me too. This is one of those rare occasions where it happens. We're having a prayer meeting, and the Lord pointed out, there were two. Said, this lady, that lady, I want you to mentor them before they leave this school. I have great work for them and all that. Now, I didn't tell them that I've never spoken to them before that day. And then of that meeting, both of them came to meet me, that the Lord told them, and it was very correct. So we had our first meeting with both of them, where we just talked and shared a few things with them, and they left. Then they never showed up again. And I began to say a few things about me, and those things they were saying about me was, they didn't say much in their defense, but there was a particular young guy in school who was the one spreading all those things and pushed it on them. So, well, they stopped coming, and I didn't bother. I don't want to mentor anybody to start with. God even knows that part. So I said, well, it's people's business. So I focused on my thing, and do you know, by the time I had finished school, I can't forget that day, I was in a vehicle going down to, if you know Abuani, I was going from Four Corners to Abuani. And I remember that day, that was when God was teaching me on love. I was with E.W. Kenyon's New Kind of Love. You know that book? That green book. I just had it in my hand. I was reading it in that bus. And here was this young girl in the car, in the bus. So I greeted her. I said, hey, how are you doing? She said, fine. What have you done with my life? So by the time she got where she was stopped, I knew where she was supposed to stop. But she didn't get there. I stopped, and she stopped with me. I said, okay, is this where you're going to now? He said, I've actually been wanting to talk to you. I said, what is the problem? He said, I want you to know. Because she said, should I come to her house? I said, no. Look at my house. I said, no. I have a reason, you know, sort of another day. Because most times when people have done things against you, you should forgive them. But you should not be quick to open your doors again. You get the point? He said, let's go to your house and talk. I said, no. He said, come to us, let's talk. I said, no. Talk here. Now, where we are standing, what do you want to tell me? Are you following me? She said, I want you to know that I'm sorry. I said, what are you sorry about? She said, I said things about you. I said, how did you hear those? He said, so the best time. I said, how are you sure it's not true? Because why are you not apologizing? What if they are true? Maybe I did those things. He said, sir, they're not true. I said, how do you know they're not true? What if that says I know? I said, how do you know? He said, because that same guy is busy saying things about me now. And I know those ones are not true. He said, when those things began to spread concerning me, the Lord reminded me of you. You get the point? And said, this is how you believed. Whatever. So she came back. I said, well, maybe the guy is correct. Well, you know, the thing about it is that apology was late. I had forgiven her, but it was late. She did apologize. We all graduated from school. That was the day she now told me for the first time that, you know, the Lord actually asked me to come follow, to learn from you. But I think it's too late now because I'm leaving this town next week. I said, bye-bye. I'm not angry with how she left. The painful thing is that I saw the lady recently. And she's not doing badly in life. But she's very far away from where what God showed me and showed her. And she knew she was a bit ashamed to see me. She was married already, had 3 kids and all of that. But she was very, because you could see that you just listening to rubbish. I'm telling you, preserve your friendship. So let nobody come and tell you, you don't know that girl. And sometimes it's painful because the person they're talking to you about is someone you've known for like 8 years of your life. How dare you just believe what you're just hearing? Amen. So don't try to revenge. I told you that story to say, sometimes what is coming for people is coming for them. What came for that brother eventually is that people began to find him out. People began to discover that that's how he is. You get the point? You go to a time, people stop taking him seriously. So, there's no point in revenging. Then there are cases too, even though you don't revenge, but there are cases where, depending on who is bringing this land, especially if it's coming from a friend, there are cases where you have to confront the person. You confront the person not to fight. Please, there's no point fighting. You confront the person for 2 reasons. First, to hear from the person directly. Because you know, sometimes this slander thing can be funny. This is Sophia. Somebody can be telling Sophia now that Blessing, because maybe they are good friends, that Blessing said something. Then Sophia is angry with Blessing. Whereas Blessing didn't say anything. The real person saying something is the other person saying that Blessing said something. That is why sometimes you have to call. If it's a friend, you can say, I heard that you said I said this. What happened? Because sometimes when you finally do the confrontation, you now find out that the other person is the enemy. I get what I'm saying. So sometimes don't just assume. Don't live your life based on assumption. Sometimes I confront a person. Good evening, babe, what's up now? This person said this, this, and that. Why will you say that kind of thing about me? Sometimes when you confront, you'll not find out that that's actually a lie. You might not find out that it's that person that told you that thing, that said that thing. So many people are angry with their friends based on an assumption. Is this blessing you at all? So you confront just to hear from the person. So why did this happen? Why did that happen? I heard you said, I always borrow your things. Why did you say it? Do you understand? The person will now tell you, I didn't say it. How can I even say that? And the person will say, is it not true? Don't you always borrow my things? You now know she said it. You can now clarify and say, well, I didn't expect that to come from you. I now borrow your things, but I've never forced you to give them to me. I borrow your things because I don't have. You know I don't have. You know my financial situation. That's why you're mocking me. So sometimes you confront to hear. And another is sometimes you confront people is to set the record straight. Sometimes when people are saying they're not true about you, you say, well, let me even, I can confront you to say, I heard you say this about me, but let me even tell you exactly what happened. There are cases where you do that. I do that sometimes when I know or I feel you are in ignorance. Maybe you are saying this because you really don't understand the situation. So I can clarify and say, well, look at actually what happened, though. Look at what actually, this is actually the story. Just that sometimes when people have already taken a position, they've taken that position, no matter what you say, they won't change their mind. Or sometimes you just do it if you want to. That's if it makes you feel good. But let me give you a serious counsel. If you want to really deal with this and that thing in your life, do not bother so much about what people think about you. The major reason slander gets to you is because you care too much about what people say concerning you. Do not bother so much. And I'm going to say this to you. If you're going to be a minister of the gospel, as a lady, you must kill that part of you that cares so much about what people say about you. You must kill that part of you that is always very conscious about what people are saying concerning you. Oh, they said I am this. Oh, they said I am that. Are you following me? And it's something that God helped me master early. And even till now, God is helping me master it. If you are too bothered about men's perception of you, you will be a man pleaser. What it means is that you'll be living your life to always in a way that people will not say things about you. And that's not a good thing. When I started preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, I started preaching all this, you know, where I stand now, eternal salvation, they said some terrible things about me. If I am someone that really cares about what people say about me, I would have stopped preaching it. They said some terrible things about me. One woman confidently called one of our members here, one of the parents of our members, and told the woman, the father, that Pastor Henry and his people, they are homosexuals. When I heard that, I said, have we gone from fornicators to, we are really making progress in this, our ministry? And I don't know where that one is coming from. I don't know where it's coming from. Because it started by saying, the whole rumor started by all these ladies in that ministry. Don't worry, all of them start getting pregnant one by one. Okay? So after a few years, Belen no show. So when Belen no show, then I said, we know it. They are gay. I've not seen that side. I said, we don't even know how to accuse people. Can I be gay? With a like woman. I like women. Women are a creation of God. Just I like one woman, my wife. Say amen. I don't know how people become gay. And I don't know how it's an accusation for me. But you know, if you bother so much about what people say concerning you, you will be a man pleaser. You'll be a man pleaser. And the thing about man pleasers is they can't please God. Galatians 1 verse 10 is very clear on that. If you are so bothered about pleasing man, you can't please God. If you are so bothered about what people are going to say concerning you, what are they going to say about me? Will they, you know, you are so bothered, you won't please God. For he said, do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of God. Give me like NLT. Our translation. It's very clear. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people are my goal, I will not be Christ's servant. So if you are bothered so much about what people say about you, you know the implication? When they slander you, you begin to hide. Because they're saying things about me. That's why people stop their business, stop ministry, stop making progress because of what people are saying about them. It's because they are so concerned about what people say. Let me tell you something. What I teach is one blind eye, one deaf ear. What I mean by that is, I'm not saying you should not bother at all about what people say about you. Even Jesus got to a point where he asked people, who do people say I am? So yeah, when people say, he said this about you, listen to them. What are they saying? Is there any truth in what they're saying? If there is truth in it, let me readjust. I get what I'm saying. But at the end of the day, have one blind eye. One of your eyes should be totally blind. Totally deaf to what people are saying. The other one is just there to hear and analyze, okay, is there a truth in it? And I heard this statement from Charles Spurgeon of blessed memory. He said, have one blind eye, have one deaf ear. And it became my watch for the ministry. So I'm not someone that really cares so much about what you say about me. If you say something about me, I'm going to hear it and check, okay, is that sense in what they're saying? Did that really play a part in making this happen? Do I have to adjust in some ways? I get the point. I'm going to adjust. But apart from that, I'm really not bothered about what people say about me. If you care too much about what people say about you, you keep getting slandered all the time. Now, the thing about it, people will keep talking about you. Especially as God is raising you to the top now. The higher you go, the worse it becomes. Let me even tell you, a very easy way for people not to say too much about you is to not become anything prominent in life. That saying things about Platform of Grace as a Platform Church, and this is our level. I told someone one day, I said, if I was a pastor who was just in one small place with 4 or 5 members doing my thing, will you bother about saying anything about me? I get what I'm saying. So if you want to remain small, then remain small. Let everybody leave you alone. But once you begin to grow, that be said, some of those things that will come from your friends who are jealous of you. They say things about you. That girl, she's this, she's that. And if you don't deal with this, it causes emotional damage. It damages you emotionally. Some people can no longer trust people. There are ladies that can never be vulnerable to anybody. No matter what. Because the ones they told somebody some time ago, they use those secrets against them. So no matter what, they won't tell you anything. Is that a good thing, though? Some of you brag with it. So I don't tell anybody my secret, though. It's me and myself. Now, is it okay to tell everybody your secret? No. But to say I can't tell anybody my secret, it means you are sick. And it means you can be dying on the inside and you keep it to yourself. Whereas the help God has provided for you are all over you. But because of what happened some time ago, don't bother too much about what people say about you. It will affect you in the long run. Don't care too much about how they see you. Don't care too much about that. I follow what I'm saying. I'm not too bothered about your perception of me. I know what God thinks of me. And that's one thing knowing who I am in Christ did for me. I know who I am in Christ. I know what God thinks concerning me. And I know what I think concerning myself. At the end of the day, it's only two opinions that matter. God's opinion of me and my opinion of myself. Do you understand the point? So that no matter what people have said concerning you, you don't go hide somewhere. Say that I'm talking about me. And I'm talking about me. Now go hide somewhere. You're now walking around your classroom. You're walking with your head bent because of what they said concerning you. Lift up that your head. Don't slouch. Stand straight. Don't bother about what people say concerning you. Don't do like that. You're now walking by the side of the wall so nobody will see you. Walk in the middle of the class. catwalk. In my cable catwalk. One leg in front of another leg. That's catwalking. Yeah. Walk with confidence. Because that's the plan of the enemy, to shut you up, to hide you somewhere with all those things people are saying. So Paul said, if pleasing people were his goal, you cannot be classified. So you cannot only do ministry if you care too much about what people say about you. Amen. So don't be a man pleaser. Because once you care too much about what people say about you, you'll be a man pleaser. You'll be living your life to please man. Live your life to make people happy. Then the last thing I'm going to say is, please keep moving. No matter what people say about you. The secret is this. No rumor will stay forever. In fact, the lifeline of every rumor is 1 week. Are you not aware? The reason it's 1 week is because life is busy. Other things will happen. There's a program they do on NTIT those days called People and Events. People and Events. People, things will keep happening. And so, don't worry. In 2 weeks' time, something else will happen and they will face that person. A gossip always looks for new victims. And so, that's why you must keep moving. You must keep moving. Don't stop your ministry. Don't stop your assignment. Don't stop your business. Because they said, I can't even open shop again. Why? There's one woman beside our shop that is telling everybody that I'm using jazz to sell market. I can't even go there again. That's why you can't go to your shop again. You'll be poor. You'll be broke. I can't even go to class again. Because there's one guy in class, one person telling everybody that I'm sleeping with the class rep. I don't even know how I can enter class again. Two questions. Are you sleeping with the class rep? If you're sleeping with the class rep, repent and stop. And then enter your class. Is that okay? Now, if you're not sleeping with the class rep, enter your class. Sometimes don't even act like you heard anything. Just enter your class and sit down. Anybody that has the mind should come and tell you himself. And when they tell you themselves, when someone tells you, as long as I like people that confront me, if they say, I will now explain to you that I am not. Sometimes I'm not going to tell you anything until you come and tell me. Do you understand? That's generally almost my principle. If you begin to say this about me, Pastor Henry, and I know you are my friend, and I know you've heard it, and you didn't ask me, I'm not going to talk about it. If you come and ask me, sir, they said it. I said, look at what actually happened. If you don't talk about it, I'm not talking about it. After all, you heard it, you should have told me. I feel what I'm saying. Walk with your head high and keep moving. Never stop. Don't even let people say, let what they're saying about you motivate you. Mm-mm. That's wrong motivation. Just keep moving. I get what I'm saying. Just keep moving. Over time, what you keep doing today will replace what they knew about you yesterday. That's if you keep moving. But if there is nothing you are doing today, all they will know about you are the things they heard about you yesterday. I know some of you that come around me sometimes, people come to meet me, and when they meet me, they say, Pastor, you are totally different from everything I heard about you. I get to the point. How many of you have ever heard anything about me before you met me? Something that was not good. Let me see one. Anybody? So what is it here? Okay. Yes, it was... Should I tell them? Because some stories I told revolved around her family. Some people, you know, people just have drama. And you know when people conclude, they say, you know what they said? They said you are very hot tempered, though. But you are just totally different from what? Do you know? If I did not keep moving, I feel what I'm saying. After those things, people said, you will not have opportunity to meet me to correct what you heard. So keep moving with your life. That's why that energy you would have channeled into revenge. Channel it into living your life. Because the thing about revenge is you have to pause everything you are doing to sit down and plan a revenge. So you're even distracting yourself. At the end of the day, the devil is winning. He's winning in many ways. He's winning in the fact that he has gotten you to a point where you are bitter. He's also winning in the fact that he has gotten you to a point where you are distracted and you are planning and orchestrating a revenge. Are you following me? People will say what they want. Don't let it affect who you become tomorrow. Don't let it affect where God is taking you to tomorrow. Ladies, don't live in your past. Don't live in what people have said. Keep those things behind and move on with your life. The future is better. The future is bigger. And God's opinion of you supersedes every other person's opinion of you. What God thinks about you is bigger and better than what anybody says about you. Sometimes, some people, when you keep moving, some of them will come to apologize later. There was a week in the office, my wife knows what I'm saying, where almost everybody that came to see me that day, all came to say, that was some, about 2 years ago, all came to say, please, I'm sorry. It happened almost everybody, for like 1 week, about 2-3 weeks. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And all of those I'm sorry is coming because you keep moving. You know, there is slander in the office too. They say in the office, oh, you always used to do like everybody. You are trying to just keep moving. Keep doing your work. Because if you stop, the slander has worked. If you get bitter and angry, the slander has worked. But if you keep moving, living a free life, making progress, not getting angry, the slander is failing. Are you blessed? Do you have a question? Do you have any question? Are there questions on the... Okay. So bring those ones. Quickly bring it. So that we can answer them. Hallelujah. So maybe the people in the media stand should check online. If there are questions from there, I know we're going to have a lot. So let me just attend to them. Yes. Thank you. Amen. Okay. He said, what do you do? Okay, when the slander is from your family, that your parents are siblings, and it started since childhood, you are trying to heal, but it has affected your behavior, your worth, your social character, and feels like a heavy load, stop you from moving forward. How can you release that child fighting within you? Well, it's painful that these things can happen from families and in families, and sometimes I wish I can talk to the entire family, but I can't. So what is going to happen? I'm going to talk to you, sister. Just keep moving forward. That's the first thing I'm going to say. Most times, your family's perception of you will change when things begin to change in your life. That's the truth. So just keep moving forward. They will begin to see you differently. But like I said, please totally forgive them. Totally forgive them and if you have to, I don't know how bad this is, but if it is so bad and you have to, distance yourself a little, right? Call when you have to and talk to them. But distance a little so that you can get your full healing. Well, I know how it is. Sometimes you're trying to be yourself, as in recover yourself, and then more things are happening. So if you have to, distance yourself a little and then get yourself. But please forgive them. Family loves, right? Your father loves you, your mother loves you. That's the truth, whether you like it or not. However, most times when those things are coming, they're coming because they misunderstand something about you. So I mean, as you keep making progress in life, they will get to understand you better and then help and then change their ways. Sometimes too, right? talk about it. It's family. Do you understand? Talk about it. Tell them the way you guys are seeing me. It's not actually correct. But if it's something you've talked about, but the thing keep persisting, just listen to yourself a little and get your healing and become very, very whole. And once you become very whole, you know, and as you keep making progress in life, for instance, in some families, they'll stop slandering you once you have money. I'm just telling you, in some homes, they will stop talking when you have money. And all of that. Okay, so just make progress. Good afternoon. Will it be better if people stay without friends to avoid slander? Well, that is, you are reacting to what the devil is doing. You are allowing what the devil is doing or will do to determine your life. Can we check the Bible? There are many benefits of friendships in the Bible. The Bible says two is better than one. Do you understand? And let me even say this to you. The fact that your friend slandered you does not mean that that friendship will not continue. There are things you should let go of and really, really forgive. Especially if the person is very repentant about it. Forgive it and move on with your life. And move on with the friendship. Because there is no guarantee that the next friend you're about to meet. Do you understand? But when it becomes a repeated thing and it's beginning to damage your perception and all of that, you can shift from that friendship. What you should actually do with friendships is that you should not rush into it hurriedly. Do you understand? Take your time and, you know, pray about it. Allow friendship. One of the problems, and I was talking with mom, I thought we'd have had time to address this in this meeting. She mentioned it a little yesterday. One of the issues I have with ladies is that we have a wrong perception of friendship. To start with, we jump into friendships too quickly. Do you understand? You can see two ladies that are besties sharing all their secrets, but they've not known themselves for 3 months. You get the point? And that's why there's always hurt in our friendships. So you have to work on that. I get the point. You have to work on that. And then don't also be in a hurry to end friendships because things went bad. Right? So you mustn't be in a hurry to end friendships. So don't, you can't stay without friends. So you can't avoid, you can't because of something that could happen, right? Now avoid something that will eventually be a blessing to you. Friendship is a blessing. I can tell you in many ways. Amen. How can someone build up a very damaged esteem? Damage came from a lot of slander, inferiority complex, and mistakes. I don't know who is asking this, but I really wish I can talk to you or you can talk to me after now. But let me say this. Allow God's word. Just stay on God's word and let God's word build you up. The word of God has helped me. It has helped me. Right? And I've seen it help many people. I've given people assignments that I could just say, study this thing, declare this every day and all of that. And you just find them come out from it. Coming out from inferiority complex, you know, a damaged esteem will not happen suddenly. It's something you have to deliberately do. Deliberately invest in your life. That's why I said I wish you can meet me. Because sometimes you need to be monitored to go through the exercise that will bring you out of it. I get to the point. Sometimes I have to put you on things to do and watch you get out of it. Some of the things you might have to do is, as sometimes when you say, still on the word of God, over time, I can even decide to begin to give some assignments. I can't preach to that person. I can't do this. As you're doing all of that, you are breaking out from that stuff. But generally speaking, the word of God is this. It's your strongest forte. Just put your heart on it and keep studying it. Don't just study. Study it and say it to yourself as much as you can. As you study and speak the word to yourself, it has the capacity to knock out everything that you've believed that is wrong. Amen. If you have a friend that you have noticed is a hidden hater, what do you do? Do you confront the person or avoid them entirely? What should you do? I'm asking you, what do you think we should do? What the person is saying is, you have a friend, but somewhere in your heart, you know that this person doesn't like you. That she's just hanging around you, and you get the point, and then, can that happen? I'm just wondering how you guys became friends. But let's not talk about it. But let me tell you what you have to do. Your assumptions may be wrong, But I wanted to say, how do you know that the person hates you? Because sometimes when people have a bad image of themselves, they can put that image on everybody. They begin to feel everybody is hating on them. So you have to be sure that you are hated. With enough facts, enough evidence, that is not just your head. Because sometimes people can live in their head. You know, let me tell you, when you have a bad self-esteem, one of the things it does to you is to think that everybody doesn't like you. If you are here, you think everybody doesn't like you, I'm just telling you, let me first tell you that I have a bad esteem. Because you are the one, you are living in your head. Let me ask you, how many of those people have ever met you that they don't like you? He says, they've not met you, but I know what I know. I know what you know too. What you know is that your esteem is badly affected. Because the secret is this, because you'll be looking at everybody from your own lens. I get what I'm saying. I know they don't like me. To start, you don't even like yourself. So because of that, you are putting on everybody. So you have to be sure that there is hatred. And you have to be sure that the person is not just angry with you. That is hatred, that is anger. If there's something you did to the person, you can meet the person. I noticed you acted this way 2 days ago. Did I do anything wrong to you? But if you think you've done everything and you've confirmed that the person really, really hates you, I don't think this is a question you have to ask. If the person really hates you, like, for what hatred is? Because hatred is a very strong word. Hatred is a strong word, though. So if a person really, really hates you, then you don't have to be the person's friend. But I have to be sure that you're not the one living in your head. Or you're not the one that did something to the person. There are friends that you can hurt. They don't know how to bring up issues and confront it. And they're hurting inside. That's not a friend that hates you. Just a friend that is angry with you. So in such cases, you should confront it and talk to the person. I guess what I'm talking about. But you have to be sure you see it. When you have decided to a point that it doesn't move you anymore, you don't care, and you do whatever you want. Let's say I now nonchalant naturally. Does it amount to low self-esteem? It's also another negative effect of this thing. Just that it's now looking like reverse psychology. You know, you get to a point where, you know, there are people, for instance, people have been saying things about them. So they've come to a point where they don't send anybody paper again. They're now deliberately misbehaving. I let them say. You get the point? The person will deliberately, and that's another terrible thing about slander. It can mess people up. The person deliberately is coming back. She already knows that the parents are saying that she's a bad girl. So she will come out, wear a bone shot and go home. You know that kind of thing. Let them say, will you people beat me? She, well, you guys have been talking all the while, she, I'm back. Continue from where you stopped. You know, and that's not good. What again you've done is that you've allowed what people say to shape you. It has shaped you. Just like I told you, a lady can be raped and it makes her hate men. Another can be raped and it makes her promiscuous with men. At the end of the day, each of the extremes are bad. So you are slandered. One person is slandered and is saying, is having low self-esteem. Another person is slandered and says, hey, people are slandering me, right? You want to talk, Abby? I'll give you guys what to talk about. It's still bad. It's still bad. So don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Act on the word of God, like I've said. You know, don't let what people do or say be a motivation for whatever you're going to decide to do in your life now. So, for instance, there are people in this church, I'll give you some example, that come from places where they've been insulted, they've been dealt with, nobody likes them, and they will carry that energy into this church. They are expecting that we are going to do them like other people, so they're even ready for it. You say, don't dress wherever, they will wear short skirts. It's not talk. The same talk they wanted to talk in my church. People should talk. The point is, you are still very sick. You are reacting to something. It's even a proof that something has been damaged in your head, which you have to fix. You have to break out from that slander thing. And don't let it bring you to a point where you now begin to misbehave. Say, what's the worst that will happen? Men will talk, Abby. Let them talk. I don't care. That's how the world responds to it, but that's not the right way. You get the point? Just like when they were trying to slander Jesus, just to now say, you guys want to talk, Abi? Let me even tell you guys more. I'm the Messiah. I will die. I will rise after 3 days. Nothing you guys can do about. You look what to say, right? That's not a good way. Amen. Why is moving on from the past so difficult? Even as much as I speak God's word and go to church, the past keeps playing in my head. I find it difficult to be accountable to people because of the past. After telling them, it will be exposed, and it led to my being reserved to myself. What should I do? Really sorry this happened to you. Okay? But then, let's start with, who were you accountable to? How did you choose that person? Well, that's the first issue. Maybe you made a bad choice as you should, but let me tell you, I teach accountability, but please, I also teach discretion. I do not believe in telling people about my life. Are you aware? I don't like it too. Let me tell you, I don't tell anybody. Even my friends, there is an extent to which they can know about me. I'm very careful about accountability. So when you hear me preach, I'm not saying tell everybody about your life. Know that there is somebody at this time, a couple, which is my pastor and the wife, that I tell about my life. Now, I made that choice carefully. I feel what I'm saying. You make that choice carefully because no matter what I say now about moving on from the past, if you still make a careless choice of talking to anybody, ladies, listen to me. The fact that you are down and emotional, and someone is by your side patting your back, doesn't mean you should start running your mouth like what, like tap. There are ladies that want to give them a pillow, a comfortable space, they will start talking. And in 30 minutes, they've told everything about themselves. And I see these things happen in movies. And I say, I hope you guys are not learning that. Someone has a heartbreak, gets to the bar to drink, meets someone he doesn't know, she doesn't know from anywhere. And they begin to talk about their life. I say, people are interested. And I said, do you even think about your future? What if you are going to become the governor of this state in 5 years' time? Or in 10 years' time? And that person you've told all those secrets is in the other party. Or maybe you guys finish talking that day and you guys went to separate ways. The person sees your poster tomorrow and you are contesting against his brother. You say, I know that girl, I know something about. Don't be stupid though. That thing is movie. I don't know who used to write that kind of script. I know the thing about the movie, you know where it always ends. Both of them will now share their story and now become boyfriend and girlfriend. You must use your life to ask Nigeria movie. So be careful. Why this hurts happen is because we are careless. So what I'm going to say to this sister is, God's word is God's word, right? Try accountability again. Just be careful this time. Not anybody. Let me tell you what accountability is not. Accountability for me is not telling your friends about your problem. Any accountability system you want to get on, and the person cannot push you towards change, is gist, not accountability. If two of you are friends, and then you stole money, and then you tell Stuju, Stuju, I stole money. He say, bad girl. If I no do Amsha, that's gist. That's accountability because that thing you're telling her changes nothing. You need to be able to tell somebody that you stole money. Say you stole money. From now to the next 2 weeks, you'll be trekking to work. Because we ask, why did you steal money? I didn't have transport. Say, because you have transport, you stole money, you will trek to work from now to the next 2 weeks. You need to know. You have to storm the wall. You are praying for 1 hour every day. The person is trying to shape you. So it's not just about sharing information to every animal you see on the street. You're going to hurt yourself. Then with time, God will bring you into supernatural friendships that where both of you respect each other, and then you can now begin to tell them. And let me be sincere with you. This supernatural friendship thing takes time to form. And like one was saying yesterday, it doesn't mean that you guys have to be talking every day. There are ladies that have discarded their friendship that God sends their life because they stop talking every day. There is no friend you have in your life that you guys will be talking every day. If you think it's not true, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. You are still in school. Right? You are still in school. You are not yet busy. You are not yet married. By the time you get a job and now get married, you know marriage is job, is work for man and the woman. And then children begin to come. You find out that it's only in movies that people talk every day, because ladies talk every day, they come out from work, they call each other and say, ah, how was the day? Gist me. That's not the definition of friendship. So the fact that you guys don't have to talk every day, every minute, doesn't mean you guys are normal friends. I know some of you were friends from your secondary school and all of that. I know that secondary school, you guys are corner mates, bunk mates, right? Then you left secondary school, went to university. Now, I don't know how every day people talk now. But it doesn't mean there is no more friendship. So when God brings you into spiritual friendships, it doesn't mean that if I've not spoken to you in 1 week, you heard mom say it yesterday. See, I have my friends. We don't talk every day. Sometimes in 1 week, 2 weeks. I will never understand you guys because you guys are ladies. Okay, but 2 weeks, we're not quarreling. 3 weeks, even 1 month. But we talk. When we talk, we talk. Say amen. Amen. If there is need to talk, we will call and talk. Say, Moji, Afala, which one? We can talk. Anytime I get on that kind of call, my wife already knows. She just leaves me and goes inside. Yes. It can last for an hour or more. You get the point. Sometimes have 3 of us on a conference call. And that can take some time. But what you don't want me to do is to wake up the next morning and I'm chatting. Who am I chatting with? Am I okay? So what I'm saying, when I'm talking about, so you have to really begin to trust again. Because what I wanted to tell you about moving on from the past is that you should try accountability. But you just said you've tried it. So try with the right people and then maybe you can meet me and I will help you with somebody you can try it with. Amen. That will help you. Okay. Each time I see people that hurt me, my heart do skip. Even though I've forgiven them, what should I do? Is it skipping because you are still angry or people you get scared? We know that another thing that hurts can do. People can hurt you and then you become afraid of them. You've forgiven them, right? Stop talking about it. Let God's word heal that your heart. Begin to speak, confess the word of God. But if it's about fear, the next time that fear keeps rising, next time you see them, go and meet them and talk to them. I'm just telling you the truth. No, I mean, go and meet them and say, hello. Not to talk about the past, though. Hello, good afternoon. It's good to see you. It's been a while. And just go. What is the fear? I get to the point. Confront it. Confront it. God's word will fix you. Amen. Okay, then, when a hurtful situation happens and you are too busy to care or address it, does it mean you are sweeping it under the carpet? Well, I don't know what I mean by too busy to address it. Just make sure you're not angry. That's what I'm saying. Just make sure you are not hurting. Make sure that you are busy, but you're not. Because there are people that things go wrong in their life and how they there's this diversion technique thing where they get so busy with work and they will not address it. Make sure you are not hurting and you are not angry. You get the point? If actually you are too busy and you didn't notice it and it's not paining you for real, it's okay. But make sure you're not hurting inside and using work as a, how do they call it? Is it camouflage or diversion therapy? You just use it to distract yourself and then you are working so hard. That's what they do with alcohol. Working so hard, drinking so hard. Thing is still there. So make sure you don't do that. Even though when people are trying to recover, I always tell them to get very busy. It helps. Being busy helps you recover from any kind of hurt. However, that shouldn't be the only thing you should do. If that's the only thing you are doing to recover, you are not working on forgiveness, you are not studying the word, you are not doing all the things we said you should do, and you are just busy, getting busy, you will not really recover. Good morning, Daddy. How do I heal from past in terms of that whenever I want to enter a new relationship, there is this mindset that they will play me and that it won't work out, like it won't last. Is it normal? Or is there something wrong with it? It is not normal, though. No, it's not normal. It's not normal. The first question I'm going to ask you is, how long have you stayed out of a relationship? Because even though time doesn't heal wounds, wounds need time to heal. Do you understand the point? Because sometimes we are just jumping. We are just moving on from one brother. Another brother is at the door knocking. And you open. So you will not really have time to heal. Okay? That's the first thing. Then the second thing I'm going to say is, please, like I always say, really forgive the people that have hurt you in the past. Really forgive them. And then, pay attention, not out of fear. Pay attention to whoever you want to enter a new relationship with. Pray about it. Seek counsel. Pay attention. Because if you jump into it, it may happen again. And look at the problem with the devil. If something has happened 2, 3, 4, 5 times in your life, your experiences become your memory. That's the problem. So please, let that thing stop repeating in your life. By paying attention. Before you enter the next one, look closely. Talk to people that will help you. Pray about it. Take your time. I've always told ladies, most times, whenever any guy is in a hurry, trying to rush into a relationship, I don't trust that relationship. Because I've always believed that if people are really thinking long term with you, they will not hurry it up. I'm not saying if you enter, you may not marry the person. Sometimes they begin to think long term with you when they've entered the relationship. But I mean, if somebody is thinking long term with you from day one, the person will not rush you. He will not hurry it up. He will not hurry it up. But this one of wanting to jump in the next minute, you might actually get yourself in trouble. So, in order to get hurt again, right, take your time and really check. And please, like you said, is it normal? It is not normal. Amen. So there are some questions from YouTube, right? Have you compiled them? Huh? If not, do you have it compiled? How do we do this now? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm trying to check. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This comment session is very active this morning. How do you heal when the slander has already had an effect on you on every level? Well, just give it time. Okay, give it time. You're going to be fine. Like, give it time. Give it time, I mean, give it time practicing everything we have said. Just don't rush. Don't try to break off from it immediately. Because these things take time to form. And don't let them form. One thing slander can do to people is that it can make you quarrelsome. It just makes you feel, you guys are going to talk about me, I'll give some talk about you. You are fighting everybody. So please give it time. Give it time. You're going to recover. You're going to be fine. How do you keep distance without the person thinking you are keeping malice? Well, you can keep distance without keeping malice. You can keep your distance. If the person talks to you, talk to the person. It's as simple as that. How are you? Fine. Don't, when I mean keep distance, don't mean start acting up like you are quarreling. Can keep your distance, right? The person will notice that you are shifting away. If the person is strong, the person can confront you and say, why you guys? Well, if you can tell the person, say, the way you guys say things and that about me is really affecting me. So I don't have any problem with you guys, but I want to shift so that I can be fine. But if you're not somebody that you think you can tell those kind of things, then leave the person. They will be fine. You know the thing about this life? Everybody will be fine last. Is it that I told you? That's the truth. At the end of the day, everybody will be all right. So, make sure you are all right too. Do you understand? You can't be a man pleaser. You can't try to please everybody. Everybody will be all right. Just make sure that when everybody's all right, you too, you are all right. Amen. I think I'm done with that. Were you blessed? Glory to God. Is there another one? Huh? Okay. Huh? Send to me. From my mail, to my mail? People should not send a message to my mail. Oh. I think I'm done. I'm done. Amen. And you are blessed. God doesn't want anything to hold you down. God doesn't want anything to hold you down. God doesn't want you to be stuck with your past. There's a whole lot happening in your future. And the thing about slander, I don't just want you to heal from slander of what has happened in the past. I want you to develop an attitude such that when people say things to you, it doesn't change you. That's the end part of what God wants to do with us. That's why I closed by saying to you that you should not be so bothered about what people say and what they think about you. That way, when people try to slander you, it will not have the kind of effect it used to have on you before. Amen. God will help you heal. Stand to your feet. God will heal your heart on every side. I'll give you 1 minute to pray. If there is something you want God to fix, you've heard all these things, but you know it's easier said than done, actually. So lift your voice and just pray and tell God, help me with this. Help me with this pain in my heart. Help me with this thing that is trying to hold me down. Take your time, pray. Let me hear you. Take your time and pray. Shandala barande la karabaso karabatia. Japa la karabateka. Pray. Come on. Pray heartfelt prayer. Talk to God personally. I feel the compassion of Jesus in this room, even as I started praying. I feel that the Lord is going to move through many hearts here. He's going to go through many hearts here to clean up what the devil is trying to mess up. Some of you, your esteem is being worked on, even in this meeting. Ask the Lord. If you don't know what else to pray, just say, Father, help me with this. 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 Oh, yes. Shakipu krakitambiadish. Help me with this. You've ever played a role in slandering someone, you can repent of it now and stop feeling guilty about it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to do better. Help me with this. And God will help your heart. He will heal your heart. He will fix the damage that has been done. He will fix the damage that has been done. Some of you grew up in homes where you have been told the wrong things consistently. It's time to move on from those things you've been hearing. That's not who you are. That shouldn't define you. It's time to move on. To start with, you have to walk in forgiveness. Then you have to begin to study God's word and take in God's word and attempt to believe what God is saying to you, not what people have said to you. Please pray. There is mighty restoration taking place across all the centers. Massive restoration taking place across all the centers. From Lagos to Nsukka to Abakiliki to Obolo. There is massive restoration. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know, but I just say what I'm hearing in my spirit. You want me to pray with you? Just come. Over any issue. You want me to really pray with you over any issue related to this slander thing, this heart issue? Just come. Just come. I want to, if you're like that, just come. Because I feel that God just wants to fix things. You just feel I should pray with you over this issue. So you should just come. I believe that if I hold your hands, that's what I saw in the spirit. You can get in front here. I believe that if I hold your hands and pray with you, that God is going to fix those things. If you're online too, this thing is coming to you. Because I'm just going to hold your hands and we'll just pray. Ask God to help you. He wants to deal with the effects of those things that's damaged, that's tried to shape who you are. It's time to move on. Let this perfect lady be that meeting where you got up and you began to move from where you are to where God has destined you to be. Let it be this meeting. Mehateka pambre de shoko rabataya. Ika le zobre katish katea. Embaravia tiku preda kaka letinga. Ekoko baraka tish kalabrandaya. Thank you, Lord. Just give me your hand. Father, heal this wounds. Shebaraketa. Ikaronda laba. Give me your hand. Just stretch your hand. I want to just hold your hand and pray. That's the place I'm saying in the spirit. I'm just going to hold your hand. And as I'm touching you, the comfort of the spirit. The comfort of the spirit. The restoration, the type that Jesus only brings. The healing that Jesus brings. The fixing that Jesus does. The amendment, the help that Jesus offers. Give me your hand, sister. It's coming to you. It's putting your heart in order. It's putting your heart in place. It's putting your heart in place. It's putting your heart in place. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord fix this heart. Let the comfort of the Spirit begin to take hold of this heart. Let healing happen where it needs to happen. Let restoration happen where it needs to happen. Let forgiveness happen where it needs to happen. In the name of Jesus. Let this meeting be a turning point for us. Where we moved on from our past and began to face what was ahead of us. Fix these hearts, Lord. Comfort these ones. Restore these ones. May the devil not take the glory in all of this. May the devil not get the glory in all of this. We are going to move on. And many of you that have things that this whole event has damaged anything on your inside, Lord is fixing you now. And there are some of you, thank you, Holy Spirit. And I'm saying to the Spirit that the devil has taken advantage of all of this. And there's a demon now torment. It's now pure demonic torment. It started with somebody saying something against you. But now there is a torment of the devil. And I rebuke that devil from your heart in the name of Jesus. I stop that torment of hell from your life now. In the name of Jesus. You found devil troubling this one's mind. Troubling it with hurts, with bitterness, with fear. In the name of Jesus. I send you packing. Take your hands off this one's now. In the name of Jesus. Everyone that has come out in front here and across all the centers, standing in front or wherever you are, kneeling down in your house or wherever, I'm asking the Lord for restoration. Complete restoration in the name of Jesus. Satan, take your hands off this one's mind. Now we are living free to the liberty that God has brought us into. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Things will get better from here.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.